Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, 6 marathon majors for a 60th birthday.
So as I was approaching 60, I knew I wanted to find another adventure that I could mark my 60th birthday with, and it just kind of came together of doing 6 majors, so one for each decade, do them all in the same year, and then the highlight was to do New York, which was actually on my 60th birthday.
Running around the bay as Captain America.
Instead of, you know, a mass of runners and people not necessarily knowing your name, but just, like, encouraging you on, people see you and immediately, like, yeah, go Captain America! And you're like, yeah, that's me!
And how physical fitness and mental health go hand in hand.
Often I find I'm more physically prepared than I am mentally. My body is fit, but oftentimes if you don't have that mental part of it, you don't have that mental strength to push through the pain or discomfort or even concentration, you're not going to pull off what you want to. And I think that relates to life in general. You might be physically healthy, but dealing with stress in your life, or you know, you've got some anxiety, depression, you're not going to be performing at your best.
On this edition of iRun Radio, a woman celebrates her 60th birthday by running all 6 marathon majors. We'll talk to a runner who has completed the Around the Bay race 13 years in a row. Most recently, he's done it dressed up as Captain America. And author and blogger Noel Payne on running and mental health and his goals for 2019. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How's your week been?
Doing great, thank you.
And I know you're hard at work on the next issue of iRun, and you're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, food, right?
That's right. Out Valentine's Day, and we're working hard, and it's a lot of fun, because what you find with as many different types of runners there are is as many different types of runners' diets. And, you know, and some people like myself who don't really have one and just kind of eat whatever until 4 days before race day, and then I'll only eat bread and bananas.
Is that your nutrition plan? 4 days before race day, you just eat bread and bananas?
I do load up on that, yeah, because I'm really, I get afraid of a GI problem. So the 2 things that I know I can consume with no problem, and of course, the night before, pasta. I wonder what percentage of our audience eats pasta the night before our race.
And what part of that is superstition and what part of it is science, right? I think for me, it's superstition. I'm not sure it makes any difference whatsoever to me on race day, except that I think it makes a difference.
Yeah, and that's, what is that, half the battle, 3/4
sure.
of the battle? But is that true? Do you also have pasta the night before?
Yeah, I mean, you go back to, I'm going to say it was let me think here. It was probably the 2008 Mississauga Marathon, and the day before, I went to a restaurant in a mall at Square One in Mississauga, and I had a delicious kind of pasta primavera. And it was at about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And since then, that's been my goal, is always to have, number one, an early dinner the night before the race, and to have pasta the night before the race. So,
yeah, and then what do you have in the morning?
I usually don't eat anything before I run on a marathon day or even on a long run day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because I remember hearing, and again, you and I are not experts, so we're not dispensing advice here. This is more about what we do and what works for us.
Okay.
But I remember hearing somebody say, you know, you don't actually get the benefit of any food you eat until it's been in your body for 3 hours. So, you know, if I'm having a bagel an hour before the start of the race, it's only going to kick in 2 hours into the race, you know, so... It's not that much good to me in the course of the day. And besides that, you know, what 300 calories are going to make a difference in whether I run fast or not? I think it's all before that, you know?
Yeah. That's funny though. I have gotten that experience though of feeling hungry on a run, but I guess that maybe that just motivates you to get to the finish line faster so you can get
so
the banana when you get there.
Yeah. And again, then right back to the bananas before and after, I guess, and the bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, but it's a blast to do. And a lot of our our friends of the magazine and in our community, a lot of them are dietitians and know a lot about health and diet and nutrition. So it's just great getting stories and putting in recipes and finding out what the different people like to eat. And also equally interesting is what people like to have for their binge meal. So we all know many of us do the pasta thing. Many of us eat bananas. But what's also fun is, like, you know, when you finally do finish your goal race, whatever that is, where will we find you at 4:30 the afternoon that day? And what will you have?
Yeah. I remember having a burger with you at in Boston right after the Boston Marathon, 9 months ago, right? I remember that burger.
The memory of that in particular is one of my favorite running memories, and now what I will do every time in that, do you remember when each person, when they finished and walked into that restaurant and people were wearing their medal and then everybody else in the restaurant applauded?
Yeah, that was cool.
I'd never seen that before.
Yeah. All right. Look forward to that. We've got some great stuff coming up on the show today, including a guy who has run around the Bay 13 years in a row and has done it dressed as Captain America. We're also going to talk about a woman who ran the 6 marathon majors all in the same year to mark her 60th birthday. Running and mental health as well coming up on the show today. So, Ben, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, sir. Talk to you soon.
Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, the 6 marathon majors in 1 year. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Paula Rochman set out to celebrate her 60th birthday in a unique way. She ran all 6 marathon majors, culminating with the New York City Marathon on her actual birthday. Paula, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thank you so much for reaching out.
So how did this come about that you decided to run all 6 marathon majors in Boston, New York, Chicago, Tokyo, London, Berlin for your 60th birthday?
I had this idea actually came about the year before. I knew I was turning 60, obviously, in 2018. And for my 50th birthday, I had been doing triathlons, but I decided for my 50th birthday, my gift to myself was to do my first Ironman. So as I was approaching 60, I knew I wanted to find another adventure that I could mark my 60th birthday with, and it just kind of came together of doing 6 majors, so one for each decade, do them all in the same year, and then the highlight was to do New York, which was actually on my 60th birthday. So it was all planned out in advance, and that was my goal from the beginning, was to be able to get them all done in 1 year.
Wow. The fact that the New York Marathon, which is the last of them, actually fell on your 60th birthday, it's almost like this was preordained.
It was, and so once I kind of noticed that, I went, it was preordained. It was meant to be, and I kind of just had to figure out how to do it, and I decided this is what I was going to do.
Okay, so how do you actually pull off running all 6 of them in the same year? Because some people try to get in to some of these marathons for years and years.
So I reached out in the States. There's a tour group called Marathon Tours, which offers marathons and packages to about 100 different marathons around the world. And they are given guaranteed spots in a number of these lotteries. And I reached out to them and I told them my kind of crazy story. And they thought about in terms of whether or not they could offer me spots in all of them, except for Boston, which I qualified for. And they thought this sounded like a great adventure and they wanted to be a part of it. So they made sure I had a spot in all of them.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's fortunate. And that worked out well. So that's great. So let's walk through them. Is Boston the first on the calendar?
Yep. So Tokyo is in February.
Okay.
So Tokyo is in the middle of February, so it was kind of a good one to start with in this funny way, in the sense of, you know, you're obviously dealing with a different culture, a different language, and so it's a challenge to be in Japan, in Tokyo, in that way. So it was clearly the most challenging one, but it's an amazing country and a wonderful marathon, and the way I thought about it in my mind was this was my last training run before Boston. So in my mind, I knew I could not race all of them, and I kind of picked which ones to race and which ones to do. So I approached it that way, but I had an amazing race, and it's an absolutely wonderful race in a spectacular country.
Okay, very cool. So Tokyo was first, and as you say, the part of the appeal and part of the challenge, I guess, is the fact that you're in a country. You know, this is not like running in Chicago or New York. You're running in a country with a different language and culture.
Yeah, and they have a completely different way of doing it by their culture in terms of just kind of the, I'll call it the etiquette of the marathon in terms of, like, it's you know, it's a stereotype, but it's an incredibly clean country. Like, you don't just throw cups down or throw your gels down or anything like that. Like, you will not see anything on the route. And it's a super well-organized race, but it's, like, very much kind of reflects their culture in so many different ways. And like so many of these races in these big cities, it's an incredible tour of the city that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And super support like along the way. So it was a great way to start. And then part of the adventure was then staying. We arrived and we spent a week in Tokyo and then spent the next 10 days just traveling around Japan as kind of the reward for after the race.
All right. That sounds great. And then from there, it was on to Boston and London in April, right?
Yes. So that was the, I knew would be the challenge. So to me, it was Boston's Boston, so you race it. So I went there with intention to race it, and you know, this was its one of its worst weather years, but
yes.
Anyway,
I was there.
On.
It was miserable.
It was miserable, but to be honest, I've done it before, and I felt sorry for the people who were doing it for the first time, because you obviously don't have the same crowd. It's not the same fun out at the beginning when you're in the high school field with everybody, but you know, it just makes it an adventure. And so I got that one done, and then the hard part was then flying straight from Boston to London, because they were 6 days apart this year. And it was a real lesson in recovery, in the sense that I knew I obviously would not be recovered, and I had some sense, I'm just going to run it slow. At some point, I thought, you know, 15, 20K, my legs will give out, and that's fine, I'll just kind of continue on. And while I felt kind of great and rested during that week, started the marathon, and at about 2 kilometers, I felt like I'd run 35. So
oh, no.
It was this great lesson of going, recovery really does matter. And for London, it was the hottest marathon they'd ever had compared to Boston with the coldest. And there's a lot of people that didn't finish. There was a lot of people passing out. And I just focused on, my time doesn't matter here. I'm here to finish them all. I'll be so upset if I don't finish this. So just, you know, cool it back off the pace, and just get it done. And it's, again, it's just spectacular in its own way, with the costumes, with the crowds, with the buildings and the architecture of London. So that became the next kind of hardest one, getting these two done back on back. So
yeah.
I felt like once I got those two done, and Tokyo, because of culture and language barriers, that I was well on my way. I was going to be able to get the rest done.
Okay. And so then on to September, and you did Berlin in September, right?
And Berlin was, you know, another one I wanted to race. I had the summer to train for it, even though we had this incredibly hot summer. I had the summer to train, but, you know, we didn't know it at the time, but I'm following the same blue line as Kipchoge, who broke the world record. So it was just, it's so much fun to be in a race like that, where you can literally follow the line of people who are 2 hours ahead of you, but just follow it there in this incredible city again, and make it to that finish line. And you don't know until you get there that the world record's been broken or smashed, really. And so that became exciting kind of in that way. And again, an amazing tour of an incredible city in terms of the architecture.
And so the way they're spread out in the fall, it's actually a little bit more manageable. Now, you're still running a lot in a short period of time, but they're about 3 weeks apart, right, the three of them?
And then Chicago was the next one. And again, like, you know, the advantage of Berlin and Chicago, I mean, they are flat.
Yeah.
And it was also just thing of focusing, I want to get some done, so don't overdo it, enjoy it. This is like, you know, a privilege to be able to do it all. I can't get, you know, all upset about like kind of each one or the timing or, you know, even what's perfect training. It's just, I'll go out and I'll do my best. And so I had friends come, and both of my daughters were there in Chicago, had another fun day. But then at that point, the highlight was going to be doing New York, because I have three kids. My youngest daughter, who is not a runner, but she's athletic, had asked me last year if she could do New York with me. And she's 23, and that was like an incredible thing. And
wow.
I had said to her, I said, I don't care what pace we do it at. I'm thrilled to have you with me, but a marathon is about getting to the start line, not the finish line. So you have to train. And she had all kinds of injury issues, but I think maybe helped her appreciate what I've been doing over the years. And so she did it. And then a couple of months into it, the beginning of this year, my oldest daughter, who'd come with me to Tokyo, she'd run the 4K with me in Tokyo, which was a family race they have the day before. And she said, this is so much fun. Can I run New York with you also? And I go, you know what? 4K is not 42K. But think about it. So she also ran New York. And so that was so cool. She actually ended up having a couple of stress fractures in the fall. Was actually in a boot cast until the night before the marathon, took it off, and she also ran the marathon. So the whole thing just of having my daughters in the same race with me on my birthday was so exciting. And then my son, who studies in California, had come in, and he did the 5K with me the day before. So
wow.
it was just a neat way to kind of, you know, you go off and do a marathon. It's not a great spectator sport. It's your, someone just runs by you. But to have my kids kind of step up and put in all this effort to be with me on my 60th birthday was really such a highlight to the whole thing.
It sounds so special. So
yeah.
Just tell me a little bit more about that day. You wake up, it's your birthday, you're about to run the New York City Marathon.
Yeah.
What was that like?
So the whole thing is kind of so exciting because like my daughter, it's her first marathon. She's nervous. She's had injury issues. So you're trying to kind of focus on her. And, she wants to make it a special day for her mom. And I had a singlet, you know, which showed on the back. It was my birthday that day. So it's like all kinds of people being excited. New York this year had perfect weather. So, you know, it's just fun being out at the start. And it was, I think, just really exciting for her to like just see the excitement of the start and the whole race. And New York is a race, which I say to anybody, if you're not a runner, but you want to say you ran a marathon, do New York. Because it's just so entertaining the whole way with the bands, with the people. Everyone just gets behind that city all through all the boroughs. And it really is, you can just be distracted the whole way without thinking about what hurts or your gels or anything. It's just a lot of fun. So I think, you know, she had some rough spots and, you know, we have to do kind of different things, but we made it. And it was like just so exciting. Like we crossed the finish line holding hands, and then I didn't know this, but she had tucked away in her pocket a happy birthday card. So
aww.
What better way? Yeah.
It sounds perfect. And then, of course, you got this great big medal, right, that you get for doing all six.
So it was this huge thing. So it was exciting. I, from my understanding from them, I'm the first Canadian to have done them all in 1 year. So it's kind of fun.
Wow.
And I had actually been on the Friday night, the opening to the New York Marathon. They have a ceremony. It's called the Parade of Nations. And I was actually Canada's flag bearer. So that's as close as I'll ever get to being a flag bearer. And learned my lesson on how to keep the flag going in figure eights to keep it flying. So it was quite exciting. And despite everything, 4 of my 6 times qualified me for Boston. So that was kind of neat, too.
Incredible. Well done,
yeah.
Paula. That's great.
Yeah.
And
so it was just a great way. I mean, 60 really is one of those ages where you're kind of feeling towards the end, and most people don't want to celebrate their birthday, and it's a downtime. And I just said, I'm going to figure out some way to turn this number around and go, here's a celebrate something.
Yeah, good for you. And did you have a favorite from among the 6?
I can't say, like, Boston is a special race to me just because you have to qualify. And for myself, I've always said, as long as I can qualify, I want to be able to do Boston. So it has a special place for me, but I could say something special about each one of those places. And so much of it is about what city it was in and just, you know, the opportunity to travel to Japan. Like, I've never done it, so it gave me this great opportunity that I never would have done. Maybe the same for Berlin. The history of that city is just absolutely fascinating. So there's something special about each one of them, and I think depending on what you're looking for in a race, you'd want to do different ones of them.
Well, Paula, congratulations. This is such an uplifting and heartwarming story about your birthday and about your kids being there for you. I can't imagine it being any better. So it's quite a story. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for reaching out. And I hope everyone gets inspired to get out there and do whatever you can do. It doesn't matter if it's a kilometer or 42 kilometers, just get out there.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paula.
Thank you.
That's Paula Rotchman. Coming up next, running around the bay as Captain America. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Ryan Moran has completed the Around the Bay 30K race in Hamilton 13 years in a row, and he'll be doing it again in March, and once again, he'll be doing it in a special costume. Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thank you very much for asking to talk.
So tell me about the first time you ran around the bay.
First time I ran around the bay was 2005, I guess it was now, and I was actually in fourth-year university at the time. And or 2005, maybe 2006.
Yeah.
And but yeah, so it was just kind of really also in the middle of exams, and it was really the first really long distance race I'd ever done too. So it was pretty inexperienced to that aspect, pretty terrible at training, and pretty wrapped up in everything else to do with university at the time. So it was
sure.
A little bit hectic. Yeah.
Sounds like a typical fourth year university student.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the perfect time to take on a long distance.
What made you decide to do it?
A lot of things. I mean, I'd been into running for a while. I used to do cross country with high school. I ran all throughout university, not with their cross country, but just kind of recreationally. Would do occasional community races or like 5K races. And then also I'd actually grown up on a street called Inchbury, which is just kind of at the tail end of the around the base route where you're coming on York Boulevard towards Coffs Coliseum. Inchbury is one of the side streets, kind of the first one if you're really on that last home stretch of about a K and a half.
And did you know the history of the event, the fact that at that time it had been around for something like 110 years?
I'd known a fair amount about it. I mean, I hadn't known a lot of the finer details, but like having grown up with you know, seeing it go past the top of the street when I was a kid, and, you know, once a year you'd have cars lined up on the street or you'd see people running by. Knew about kind of its lore, just not all the specific details.
And what are your memories from when you were a kid seeing runners go by?
The memories are really just kind of, I mean, on the one hand, kind of they're crazy or being impressed. Also just sort of the sort of festival atmosphere about it was always really nice, too. So I always really liked that. But yeah, it was more so just, you know, my parents or my mom telling me that, oh yeah, no, they're doing 30 kilometers. They go around the entire bay. And at that point in time, when you're a little kid, you just think like, that is a huge ton of distance. And I can't believe they're doing that.
So getting back to your first participation in the event in 2006, how did it go? And what was the experience like of running all that way?
Well, I mean, as I said, it was terrible. It's training for it, at least in an efficient manner. So, I mean, I was running pretty long distances every day nearly leading up to it, not realizing how maybe counterintuitive that necessarily was to both my body and the training. So the actual race itself was, I was prepared for. It wasn't my fastest race, but I don't think it was actually my slowest either. And it felt really good to get it done and to feel like, wow, no, I just really did that. And I feel fine. I remember occasionally walking with like a broomstick afterwards, just because I wasn't used to, you know, running that sort of distance, not used to the amount that your muscles freeze up afterwards. So that was a little bit interesting to me. But otherwise, yeah, no, just going through that full course and, you know, everything from going through Hamilton to, you know, finally hitting that Heartbreak Hill at Valley Inn on the way towards the end is really just an incredible experience.
And what made you decide you wanted to do it again?
Stubbornness to an extent. Enjoying actually doing it on the one hand, but then also that feeling of like, well, I've done it once. Like, why wouldn't I do it again? Why wouldn't I want to do it again? Why wouldn't I feel like I can do it again? So it was that sort of, I don't know, almost more stubbornness. And then once you get into the mode of doing it annually, it began to kind of build itself in as both, you know, good post holidays training kick in the butt in terms of like, well, I've had a lot of turkey and I should probably get back into good shape. Becomes a nice like kind of annual checkpoint of your fitness capabilities and what you're capable of, and, you know, reminding yourself what you're capable of. And then also just a great way to sort of kick off the spring too, of having that sort of run. So you train throughout the winter, you do this run on a day that is usually pretty sunny. I think I've only ever had one really bad day. So that's kind of why I kept doing it.
So now that you've done it 14 years in a row, can you describe the experience, or you're about to do it for a 14th time in a row? Can you describe what the experience is like, what the course is like, what the whole event is like for those people who haven't done it before?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very fun event, I'd say, like at the outset. I mean, it's not, obviously there's the fitness capacity to it and the need to be in a certain level of shape. But I think people really tend to do treat it as sort of like a kickoff to a year's worth of different types of races, whether they are taking on marathons or half marathons or the long distance races or adventure races, things like that. So there's almost a festive kind of atmosphere to it too. And it kind of also relates back to what I was saying about the idea that it's sort of the kickoff to spring too. So, it's this warm weather kind of impending, even if the day can sometimes be chilly. So the atmosphere is very fun. The route itself is beautiful and relates to that spring awakening. You do kind of get a lot of different vistas kind of as you're going through, whether it's the old architecture of Hamilton when you're in the more downtown area. If you come to the beachfront and Beach Boulevard area, you get that beautiful view of the lake. And then you cross over into Burlington and you get the more kind of beautiful residential areas, and you pass the Gulf Country Club, pass the LaSalle Park. The trip down through Aldershot and then down into Valley Inn, when they cut that out for a couple of years for the bridge work at Valley Inn Heartbreak Hill. I mean, it was nice not to have the hill, but when they reopened it and brought it back into being part of the race, it was really thankful, even despite the hill, to have that back in, just because that Valley Inn area is beautiful. And doing that hill, once you get to the top, you know that it's all downhill from there, and it's a kind of fun experience. You get, the experiences like the Grim Reaper on the course as you're coming down your boulevard too, so you get a bit of humor. Which just really also lends to that more festive kind of celebratory atmosphere of the race itself. My friends and I who do it, I've managed to amass a good group of people who also do it with me now across the past couple of years. And though we do make sure to train properly and, you know, do set goals and personal goals or group goals to challenge ourselves, we also treat it with a bit of fun. We all dress up in the past couple of years like Avengers, usually I take on Captain America, others take on Iron Man or Thor. It's overall, the experience is fun in a word, but it's also really tied to, that spring and kicking off a good year of running and fitness.
So you dress up as Captain America and run 30 kilometers?
I do, yeah.
Like full costume?
I don't carry the shield because that'd be heavy, but what I managed to do was find on Amazon kind of compression gear. So it's actually running gear. Probably the more obtrusive piece is the head mask, which is just sort of the Captain America, you know, half head mask, but it's made of rubber. It's really not too bad. It almost kind of works like a toque.
Sounds great. And what kind of reaction do you get for that?
It's a lot of positivity. It's actually, I with my friend who does it, because Iron Man, because he's now done it a couple times. We just had Thor join us last year. We joke that it's almost kind of an unofficial steroid in the idea that it's you get people directly calling you out and cheering you on, which is a really nice morale boost as you're kind of maybe dragging a bit through the hills on North Shore Boulevard in Burlington. People, instead of, you know, a mass of runners and people not necessarily knowing your name, but just like encouraging you on, people see you and immediately like, go Captain America. And you're like, that's me.
Very cool.
So that makes it fun. Yeah.
So is that going to be an annual thing from now on?
Currently it is. Yeah. So I'll probably look to do it again this year. And I know, I haven't actually, I haven't met him personally, but I know there's a guy in Toronto who does a lot of long-distance races called the Dark Knight Runner, and he dresses up like Batman. I think his Instagram is Dark Knight Runner, and I know he's done the Around the Bay and was commented on our pictures back and forth too, and said that someday we should finally meet up. But yeah, so I mean, it's just a fun thing to do.
Yeah, and yeah. When you ran it that first time, did you ever imagine you would end up doing it 14 years in a row?
I think I had hoped to. I mean, in the back of my mind, it was like, well, I hope I keep doing this. But yeah, no, I mean, I certainly don't ever really even think that far ahead to think I hope I'm doing 14 years from now. No, I don't think I really did think that that would happen, but here we are.
Yeah.
And it's been, I mean, it's been a process too in terms of, you know, some years better than others where I know there was one year, I think it was 2012, I had to go to a conference on the Sunday that had to, it was like a competition conference. So I actually had to be there early afternoon. So that meant I had to really change the way I was going to do the race that year because I wasn't going to be able to actually do it at the start time and go the full length. So what I actually ended up doing was switching into the walking category. So that was the only year I did that, where I switched into the walking category.
Right.
Walked the first little bit because I didn't want to start running right from the start and then, you know, be like the first runner crossing at Burlington even before the first place actual runner, because that would, I feel like I'd be hated for doing that. So I basically walked until they passed me and gave them a good breadth of advancement, and then I started running just to make sure I didn't look like I was, you know, in the lead by any stretch of the imagination.
So you did all of that just to get a bit of a head start on the day, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So that I could still do it, but
wow.
Then also go to my conference.
You're serious about this now. Nothing's going to stop you.
It's that thing. It's like, well, there's no real good reason not to, so yeah.
Yeah.
One year, I actually got food poisoning from my carb load the night before. And basically would just suffer through the night and thought, if I get 2 hours sleep, I'm going to do it. And my alarm went off and at around 7. Last memory I had was around 5. So I was like, ah, crap. Okay, well, here we go. And that was an awful run and my slowest, definitely, but I still made sure to do it.
Well, good for you. Congratulations on keeping the streak alive.
Oh, thank you very much.
And thanks for sharing your story with us. Great to talk to you, Ryan.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. And I can't wait for this year and many more to come.
That's Ryan Moran, who will be running in his 14th consecutive Around the Bay race this March in Hamilton. Coming up next, blogger and author Noel Payne. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. It's a pleasure to welcome back to iRun Radio runner, blogger, and new author, Noel Payne. Noel has tackled some incredible endurance challenges, and he's campaigned for mental health in the past. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has planned for 2019. Noel, thank you for joining us once again.
Thanks again for having me, Mark. It's always an honor and a pleasure to talk with you.
And you are coming off a great 2018. You did so many different things. I was looking at the list of accomplishments that you sent me, and we'll talk about your book in a moment. You're about to put out a new book, but you you ran with others, pacing people at different events. You helped Gesine Freund, who was on our show, run 200 kilometers from Montreal to Ottawa. You ran 43K on your 43rd birthday for mental health in October. So it was a pretty good year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. I sort of stepped back a bit, and as opposed to doing as much racing and really that type of thing for myself, I really kind of thought about doing it as just having a little more fun, being a little more relaxed. And it ended up being a year where I really ended up sort of helping out some friends with their running, and I found I paced a good friend of mine, Nick Brindisi, in May at the Ottawa Marathon. He wanted to go 3:30, so which was a fairly relaxed pace for me, and it was had a lot of fun. Just, you know, where it was all about somebody else, and then with Jasime and from Montreal to Ottawa, that was an amazing experience running through the night with her. and then ran the Army Run in the fall, which is another great race in Ottawa, and helped out my friend Nina, and that was amazing as well. So it really was less about me, I found, and I had a lot of fun just helping others. And so, yeah, it was a great year.
Well, good for you. And tell me more about the run that you did for mental health, because I know this is a big priority for you, raising awareness about it. And you've been outspoken about the issue yourself and how it's affected you. So tell me about that run.
Sure, yeah. It's funny. It kind of went with the theme for the year, where in years past I've run a couple 100K ultras kind of on my birthday and marked them as a way to sort of raise awareness about mental health. But this year is my 43rd birthday, and I said, okay, well, I'll do another run. It's an important issue for me. And I was going to do a 143-kilometer run. But then I realized that it was going to be so hard for anybody else to jump in and hard for me to connect with a lot of friends that I might want to connect with. So I cut it back to 43 kilometers and had a really great run with just a small group of people. So once again, yeah, it was more about being with others, and that was perfect as well, because I think part of mental health is reaching out to others, connecting with others, and using those around you for support as well. So it ended up working really well. And like you said, mental health is something important to me. It's not a chronic problem for me, like many people I know who deal with anxiety or depression or other issues, and that tends to be sort of in the background all the time. I went through a tough period and was able to sort of pull out of it with help and reaching out and, you know, talking to people and doing all the things you're supposed to. But it really sort of made me aware of the issue, I guess, and I think for many things when people experience it personally. It really made it an important issue for me, and I think it always will be. Just pulling out of a very low place, I realized that, hey, you know what? This is as important as physical health, and it's something often, I guess, that people don't talk about, especially the male population.
Yeah,
so
very true.
I think I'll continue to be an advocate for it.
And do you find that mental health and physical health kind of go together, that you can't really have one without the other in a way?
I think it definitely is, Mark. I mean, I think people often hear it, but may not realize it. I think as an athlete and a runner, it definitely is. My weakest point in any of my training and racing has always been the mental part. So just for me, I love training and racing hard, but often I find I'm more physically prepared than I am mentally. My body is fit, but oftentimes if you don't have that mental part of it, you don't have that mental strength to push through the pain or discomfort or even concentration, you're not going to pull off what you want to. And I think that relates to life in general. You might be physically healthy, but dealing with stress in your life, or you know, you've got some anxiety, depression, you're not going to be performing at your best, and that can make you physically sick. So yeah, I think running and life, I think there's that balance that needs to be attained between the physical and the mental.
Yeah, very true. So what have you got planned for 2019, Noel? Because you always have something ambitious on the horizon. So tell us what you're thinking.
Things are just starting to percolate, Mark. I really had kind of a quiet year last year. Took the time still to kind of come back and just relax a bit, not to put too much pressure on myself. This year, I sort of piled on the pressure a little bit more, dragging my tight and tired running dad body back into marathon training. And I'm hoping to kick off the year at the Blue Nose Marathon in Halifax in June. And I'm going to be an ambassador for an organization called Worth Living, which is a mental health organization started by someone who went through something himself and really advocates for mental health and awareness. So I'm going down with a few friends and going back home where I spent most of my time growing up in Halifax. So running, hoping to set a personal best and raise a little awareness about something close to heart. So that'll kick off the year. I think I'm gonna miss the Ottawa Marathon, but I think I might line up in May for the 10K as part of training. So I will be here in Ottawa, but I think that Blue Nose Marathon will be the first big one of the year.
Okay. Well, good luck with your preparation for that. So let's talk about this book. You're in the final stages of putting out a book. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, this has been, I think, anybody who's been sort of around for a little while is probably either through somebody else or me being contacted about me trying to get out a book. I've profiled, like yourself, I've talked to lots of runners, whether in person or whether I profiled them for my personal blog. It's been quite a few years here. I've really talked to a lot of runners, and I've always been trying to put together a couple books just to share with others these stories that I've come across. And things really took off this past year. I started writing a bit more. I put out a short book this past year in the fall. Just some of the sayings and thoughts and musings that I had as a runner, just to test out how it would be to self-publish, because someone had mentioned they liked the sayings I have on social media. So I put those into a book, and I said, wow, that's really doable, especially because I really just want to get it out there. And if people enjoy it, that's great. And if it goes well, it goes well. But I really wanted to share. So I am writing the first book coming out that I'm hopefully going to have a foreword by the famous Mark Sutcliffe.
I'm working on it.
to at the front of the book, because Mark, I think you're perfect, because we both sort of are always talking to runners and talking to them about their stories. And I think we both know that running is often just a way to tap into the other story that people have.
Right. Very true. Yeah.
You know, yeah, they're everybody's running and lacing up, but it's often the story behind the shoes, the story behind why they do it. You know, whether it's just to lose weight, whether there's some, you know, challenge or personal tragedy they're overcoming, whether it makes them feel good, whether they're an Olympian. It's always something else, and that's often the story that I'm more interested in, really.
So is it going to be stories like that?
Yeah, the whole thing is a collection. That this one's going to be more based off of not just purely Canadian stories, but I've got Olympians, record holders. I've got people who've lost hundreds of pounds and been, you know, have challenged themselves and found running. Actually, one of the newer, there's a couple new ones. So I've put in a lot of people that I have. Met. I've got profiles of Susie Faber-Hamilton. She used to be a big runner back in the day, Olympian. I've got a story of, I think, a Norwegian record holder who set a world record on a treadmill. I've got some local runners, the Canadian boys and girls who've done some amazing things. I've got this great story of a guy who is the son of a famous rock star in the States who turns out has an amazing talent for running and ran really well in his college days. So all these really interesting stories with a couple new ones, a couple ones from myself, but my own personal running experiences, and then just some all tied together with some running quotes and some running thoughts throughout.
Very so cool.
I think a fun little read. Yeah, really.
Good stuff.
I hope people enjoy it.
Yeah, well, congratulations, Noel. That's a big accomplishment. And you asked me to write the foreword, and I will follow through on that and get something to you soon. And now I'm committed to it publicly. There you go. Good luck with that, and thank you so much for joining us once again on iRun Radio.
It's been a pleasure, Mark, as always.
That's blogger and author Noel Payne. In the weeks ahead on iRun Radio, we're going to talk to Canadian Olympian Dylan Wykes, who's now coaching lots of runners, and we'll talk about how to run your fastest in 2019. I hope you can join us next week on iRun Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.